ghosts, have they become a cliché? Or can we once again examine this phenomena seriously? After all, isn't it really our own afterlife we're curious about? Let's delve a little deeper on Jim Harold's Ghost Insight. Welcome to Ghost Insight. I am Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again. And I think we're going to have an interesting discussion today. There is a brand new book out. It's called Timelines, Solo Overnight Explorations of Some of America's Most Haunted Locations. And the author, Patrick Henry Orozco, is on the line to talk to us about it. And I think this is so interesting because the fact that it's solo ghost hunting. We usually think of ghost hunting teams. And I guess it comes natural for Patrick because he's had a lifelong interest in the paranormal. He had his first ghostly experience when he was just 5 years old. And combined with a natural instinct for exploring, this curiosity resurfaced in the 2000s with the advent of popular ghost hunting TV shows. Patrick's been writing throughout his entire life, including movie scripts for short films and a short personal essay published in the San Antonio Express in the 1990s. Patrick Henry Orozco, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me.
So how did you get this? When you talk to as many people in this arena that I do, and I've been doing shows like this since 2005, you don't hear a lot of original things. I think this may be the first time I've heard of somebody who just says, hey, I'm going to forego the ghost hunting team, and I'm going to be the solo ghost hunter. I'm going to do it all. How'd you come up with that idea?
I have to give credit where it's due. I was watching television many, many years ago, and I was watching these ghost hunting shows. And I just wondered, I wonder if I could go alone, if I could go there alone. And I like to harken back to that old theoretical physics theorem that the very act of observation changes that which is being observed.
Yeah, sure.
And I wondered,
cat.
Yeah, exactly. How would it change if it was just one single person alone in these locations? That's how I went with it. And honestly, I wasn't really sure I could do it. And that's why I went to a test location in 2012. I went to Waverly Hills Sanatorium. And when I was there, with a group. But what happened with the group, and there were about maybe 11 of us, and there were quite a few people there. There was a bigger group, but we got separated. Each little group got a floor to investigate. And what happened with the group is they just started talking incessantly and started snapping pictures and flashes, and they had their flashlights on. And I thought, oh, this is not the way to do this. So anytime the group would go in one direction, I would run in the opposite direction so I could have at least one side of the hospital to myself. And that's when I realized, I'm okay. This is easy. I can do this. I can be alone. And the following year, I went out and I went to four different locations on the East Coast.
Yeah, I love the idea. And sometimes I've got to say, when you do things in life, and I'm not, teamwork is great. And when you can make it work, it's fantastic. But I've got to tell you, even with my shows, I have a great assistant, Maddie, who helps me a lot. But sometimes it's just nice to do things yourself because you don't have to coordinate schedules. You don't have to worry about, egos. There's something about doing something yourself. And there's times I'm sure that you wish you had someone with you, but there's something about the sense of doing something yourself. It's a sense of accomplishment, and you can get in, you can get out, you can do what you want to do, and you don't have to have a committee about it. So I got to believe that's appealing as well.
It is very appealing. Being alone, there's negative too.
Sure.
Because being alone, you don't have anyone else that you can confirm. You don't have anyone you can ask, wow, did you see that? Did you hear that? Am I actually really experiencing this? There is a sense of aloneness when I'm there. But yeah, it not having other people frees me up. It really does.
Now some people are tech people. They like to go in with a lot of different equipment. Some people say, I just go in with a notepad and a pen. Where do you fall on the continuum? Are you a gadget guy, or do you just use your senses? Or both?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me this. Because I'm a very, very strongly anti-gadget. I go in with just video cameras and audio recorders, and that's it. And a little flashlight. Because all these gadgets that you see that are so popular on all these ghost hunting shows and that are popular with a lot of groups like these meters and fancy little gadgets that have lights and make sounds and make noises and the ghost box. I think it's a waste of time. I think it's a waste of money. And I think it, more than anything else, it's distracting. If you're looking at a gadget, if you're trying to get an EMF reading, you could be missing something. And sometimes these events happen so quickly that, you're distracted by this goofy thing that really doesn't prove anything. There's no such thing as ghost radar, you know, but it's so prevalent out there with groups and on television. And I hate it. I am very strongly against gadgets.
Well, I'm glad I asked. what is the spookiest thing? It could be something that's in the book, something that's, where's the most haunted place you've ever think you've been?
That's a difficult one, because every location had something that happened that made it interesting, and that I could deem is definitely haunted. For me, I guess I'm going to have to say it was Waverly Hills, because that would, but you know, that was my first experience. So I may be jaded in a way. I'm going to try to address this as delicately as possible. Waverly Hills has the most restrictive, is the most restrictive place to go to if you want to make a video, if you want to record something, because they make you sign a waiver, and in it you are giving them your rights to all your audio, to all your photographs. They own that copyright. But having said that, the place is awesome. It's where I had a very unusual experience with a shadow being. Not necessarily a shadow person, but I did see shadow people there, and it was the first time I'd seen anything like that. I had gone to that location with an extremely skeptical mind. I was really thinking that I was going to be horribly disappointed, that nothing was going to happen, and a lot happened, and it changed my mind, and that's why I returned the following year to do my solo stuff. So yeah, Waverly Hills. I just wish that they were a little more giving, you know, and allowing folks to feel more free to record and document. And I would love it if they would invite me back. I did contact them. I did want to go make a video there, and unfortunately, they refused.
Now, do you think, you know, some people feel, well, all ghosts are trapped and all, you know, we hear these stories about people who died suddenly under tragic circumstances, and they're trying to find their way to, quote, to the light. So some people feel that ghosts and spirits are that. Other people will say ghosts will return to a place they're fond of. Do you subscribe to one particular theory or all of the above?
I think it's a little bit of everything, and here's the reason why I believe so. I recorded almost 200 EVPs at Fort Mifflin, which is an excessive amount. I had no idea. I was not anticipating to record that many, and I thought, well, there's no way this place can possibly be that haunted? I mean, that's insane. There has to be another reason. And I think that it's one of three things. I think that we've subscribed to an idea of what a ghost is for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And I think it's time to redefine it. Because I had so many EVPs at Fort Mifflin, my idea is that it's an alternate reality, or even maybe, as the book is titled, an alternate timeline, or many, many timelines and many alternate realities. Because a lot of the EVPs that I recorded just sounded like bits and pieces of mundane, everyday conversations. You know, there was rarely ever that typical ghostly get out, or I'm dead, or help me. You know, I rarely recorded that. It was just really mundane things like, can you come over here? Elsa's out in the garden. You know, it just sounded like people talking, and it sounds like it's an alternate reality. And again, maybe many, and they're just meshing with our own. And we just happen to be there at the right time, at the right place, with our audio recorders and our video cameras, and we just happen to catch it. It could be. It could be that they're trapped. That spirits are trapped in a location, or that they willingly go back to a location. Or we're the ghost. You know, it's just a naturally occurring phenomenon. Or the last one that I think is, and I hope it really isn't, is that it's just a glitch in the matrix, and it's all just an illusion, and we're in some fancy AI.
Yeah, that's coming up more and more on the shows, to be honest with you. A lot of people are saying, is this some kind of simulation? And you hear some of the scientists out there and people of that ilk are saying that the possibility is very high. And I don't, it seems pretty scary to me if we're just all a big game of The Sims for someone. But it would explain a lot. It's like, let's fly in some UFOs and some, or bring some ghosts to this place to freak them out and see how our little Sims react. Anyway.
Exactly.
So when you go into a place, I mean, what's your battle plan? How do you approach it? You know, I'm looking at some of the different places you've been. How does Patrick go into a place? What's your mindset? You said you brought minimal equipment, video recorders, audio recorders. How long do you stay? What do you look for? What does it go like for you typically?
I stay till the very end, until the set time. And a lot of these places will have limits. You know, you can stay till, because they're open for business there, or they're offering tours during the daytime. So whatever they say, whenever they want me there, I show up. I don't really have a game plan. And I don't like to, because I want to be surprised. I try to go in as cold as possible. For instance, at West Virginia Penitentiary, they wanted me there at midnight. And a friend recently asked me if I ever went there during the day to get a feel for it. And my answer is no, you know, because I like I said, I want to be surprised. What I will do is, because I am documenting it, and I did create a 6-part series, web series, a video series, I do just walk the area, just walk the whole place and decide where to start, what to film, what to videotape, and just to get an idea for the location. And to make sure that I'm not going to fall down some stairwell or a hatch, you know, and kill myself. Because that's the fear. The fear is hurting yourself. You know, these places are dark. They're unfamiliar. I'm just getting an idea of where there might be a potential problem for me if I'm walking around with a tiny little flashlight. And you know, I'm holding a video camera in one hand. It's tough. Especially a place like the battleship, the USS North Carolina, there were a lot of very steep, small stairs that I had to get down, and holding a fairly heavy rig in one hand and a flashlight in another. So I had to be really, really careful not to miss a step, because if I did, I knew I would become the newest ghost on board, because it's dangerous. Again, you know, when I'm setting up my cameras, that's when I'm kind of meditating. I get into my mindset, and that's to be careful, and that's to not let anything get to me, get under my skin, and just keep filming and just experience it, document it, and talk about it.
You know, I think that is a fantastic point, and I try to bring that up, is that not only can you get scared, you can end up killing or seriously injuring yourself. And people don't think about that. I think there was, and this has been years ago, several years ago, somebody was on some kind of ghost hunt somewhere or looking for paranormal activity, and somehow, and I don't know where it was, they got ran over by a train, and they ended up very much dead. It really is a real concern that you have to be careful. I would also think another part of the, you sound like a very respectful guy. Another part is to respect the place you're at, the property. And also if there are ghosts, to respect them as well, I would think.
Absolutely. I have a group, I belong to a group here in San Antonio that was founded by my good friend, Michael Burrows. He has a Facebook page called Shadow Peeps. And one of the discussions that we had was whether to provoke or not. And I'm embarrassed to admit that I did use that technique. It was something that I did. But I did it only if it was a bad person, like at the jail, at the penitentiary. There was a prisoner there named Red Snyder, and he was a bad guy. He was stabbed to death in his own cell by another inmate. And even now I'm a little embarrassed that I did do that, that I did provoke the guy, and that I did go in there with that kind of an attitude. And we've come to the consensus that it's a bad idea. It's not something we want to do. It's not something I do anymore. The only exception would be if it becomes physical and somebody gets hurt or somebody gets scratched or hit or punched or knocked down, then I think it's okay. I think it's good to confront. I think it's okay to provoke, but that's correct. I stopped doing that. That was never really my style anyway. Like I said, it's situational. If it was a bad guy, I might do it. Yeah. If I feel like I might be able to get a response, even a physical response. Yeah. I did it at West Virginia Penitentiary, but I'm naturally introverted, so I'm very respectful. I try to be anyway, I think in the book and in the videos, I think you see that.
There's a couple of cases I want to ask you about because they both look very fascinating to me. One I've heard of many times, never been there. Bobby Mackey's Music World. I hear there are some real active ghosts down there.
Well, Bobby Mackey's was a place I didn't want to go because the only reason was because there would have to be somebody in the location with me at all times, because Bobby Mackey's is a bar and they have a stage set up with all their musical instruments and all that stuff. And they want to make sure that people aren't messing around with either the bar or the stage. So I was reluctant to go there because I really wanted to have the place completely to myself. I did go, and I'm really glad I did, because at Bobby Mackey's, I recorded on video a very unusual anomaly, a very unusual visual anomaly that popped into the screen. It looks semi-transparent. It's maybe about the size of a softball, maybe a little bit bigger. And then it just shoots up straight through the ceiling. And when it shoots up straight through the ceiling, it makes a sound. And this video is available on my for free on my website, which is timelineshow.com. And anybody can see the video. And I really hope that people do see the video, because I'm curious. I don't know what this thing is. I have no idea. I've never seen anything like that. I've seen some videos on the web some security footage that kind of looks similar, but not really. And it's the first time I've ever heard of an anomaly being recorded that not only is visual, but also makes a sound. And it makes a very unusual kind of staticky electronic sound as it goes through the ceiling. So yeah, Bobby Mackey's, even though it gained this reputation as being this demonic place, and you had some television personalities go in there and say they the demons descended upon them and went home with them and destroyed their relationships. Nothing could be further from the truth. There's nothing demonic has ever been associated with that location, even when it before it was Bobby Mackey's. Those legends and that folklore started way after Bobby Mackey's bought the location. But you know, I'm glad that I decided to go ahead and go anyway, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have that footage, and I'm dying for somebody to tell me what they think it is.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? In terms of ghosts, do they tend to most of them be one way, or are they like people? Are some like playful, some mean, some kind? Do you find all kinds, or do they tend to have like a very limited set of personalities, I guess you'd say?
They're just like people. They're just as curious. I can only talk about the experiences that I've had and the experiences that I've had with shadow people, which again, it just blew me away when I had my first experience with it, with them or whatever they may be. Some were curious. Some were very skittish. They'd run away and they move extremely fast. It's just lightning speeds. And one appeared to charge at me. And I guess that one was upset. but yeah, as far as full-bodied apparitions, I've yet to have an experience with one. Again, it's mostly shadow people that I've seen. I did have an interesting kind of a little bit of a glitch at the battleship, the USS North Carolina, when I was in my staging area. And I'd gone up to refresh some batteries. I got a sense that somebody had come in into that room there. The meeting, it's the meeting room for the tour groups. And it was fully lit. And at the battleship, there is a caretaker on board, but he had already said he was going to bed and I was on my own. I thought, well, maybe it's him. And I turned to look and I see the bottom half of two legs walking, khaki pants, neatly pressed and very shiny black shoes. And it took maybe 2.5 steps and then it disappeared. But I think that certainly seemed like it was just a glitch. And it wasn't a full bodied apparition. That's all I saw. And so I can only go back to, again, the experiences I've had with shadow people. But yeah, they all had very different personalities and interacted with me very differently.
Well, it's very interesting, particularly, I think, anything military. Theaters have always fascinated me. Of course, penitentiary, sanatoriums, all of these we've covered. Now, so you've had to, over time, get a feeling on this. Do you think we can ever solve the mystery? I mean, is the in your view, I mean, other than the pure enjoyment of it, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as you're being respectful. But what do you think we're going to get any answers on ghosts? Do you think it's just something we'll never really know? What are your thoughts?
I think if there's some way we can break this barrier, because science will never take us seriously, especially if we're using these gadgets that are sold for that purpose. I think that science will only accept video footage, and it's that thing that we all want. It's that the ultimate answer, evidence, is to get it on video. Get that talking, walking ghost on video to sit down and talk to us. Will that ever happen? I don't know. You know, I could be positive. I could be negative. I could say probably not. But then again, in speaking with some folks who do this, you never know. I think that that's one of the other reasons that I like to go in alone, that I like to go in as a solo ghost hunter, is, as I said, I'm a little bit introverted, and I think sometimes ghosts are too. I think if there are spirits, they certainly wouldn't want to be around a lot of people who are making a lot of noise, who are taking a lot of pictures, who are flashing their lights. I think if there's one single person in a haunted location, I think it's more likely to happen. And that's why I like to go alone. Will there be an explanation? I hope so, because I think, you know, that's why we're all out there doing this. I think basically we all want that answer. We all want to know, what happens after I die? Will I have knowledge of it? Do we move on to some other experience, some other realm, where we are aware? Or you know, when folks die, you know, one of the things most people say is, well, he's in a better place. Is there a better place? You know, I think that's what we're all doing this for, is to find that answer.
We love stories on these shows. Today, do you want to leave us with maybe one of your favorite stories that's happened to you?
My favorite and is always, will always be any situation where there was physical contact. And ironically, it happened very close to home. I'm in San Antonio, and I was at Yorktown Memorial Hospital in Yorktown, Texas, which is maybe about an hour away from here. And I had been in the hospital. It was nighttime, of course. It was overnight. I'd been there, I don't know, maybe about 4 or 5 hours. And I went upstairs to the second floor, and I was up in the nuns' lounge. Because Yorktown at that in the 80s was a, or earlier, up until the 80s was a Catholic hospital, and upstairs in the nuns' lounge, upstairs was the nuns' lounge and all their bedrooms, and men were not allowed, obviously, and there happened to be a nun that allegedly didn't like people with tattoos. And especially women with tattoos, and that she would strangle and scratch people. So I was up there, and I was doing my best to try to antagonize this nun. And I sat on the sofa in the lounge, and I always sit with my leg crossed over another, and my camera had jammed, and it's really very highly unusual for a video camera, a digital video camera, to jam, yet mine did. It would not skip over to my B card. It had finished recording on A card. So I was sitting on a sofa trying to figure out what was wrong with this camera. And as I was sitting there, I felt two pressure points on each side of my leg. And I was wearing shorts. Stroke down my leg three consecutive times. And on the last time, it went a little bit further up my leg, above my knee, and stroke down three times. And I thought, wow. This is actually really happening. I'm actually having physical contact. I was at a loss completely for words, that's a thing that you never forget. That's a thing that you cannot debunk. When there is physical contact, and there's no other possible explanation for that, it stays with you for a long, long time. I'll always remember that one. That was a great experience. Sadly, my camera had jammed, and I could not record this thing happening. So, and that's how it happens, you know. But yes, physical contact anytime. You'll never forget it.
So, Patrick, if people want to find the book, and the book details some of your cases, it's called Timeline, Solar Overnight Exploration of Some of America's Most Haunted Locations. Where can they go? And also, where can they go to find your web series and everything else you do?
The book is available on Amazon. It's also a Kindle ebook. The easiest way to find it is to just put in my full name, Patrick Henry Orozco, and it will come up immediately. My videos are on my website. My website is www.timelinesshow.com, and that's timelines, two S's, timelinesshow.com. The videos are there. They're free. There's three what I call special videos that show visual anomalies that are interesting that I wish more people would see and give me an idea of what they think they are. And that's how you can find my stuff.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. Timeline, solo overnight explorations of some of America's most haunted locations. Our guest has been Patrick Henry Orozco. Patrick, thank you for joining us today on Ghost Insight.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me.
And we thank you for tuning in to Ghost Insight. And please keep hunting those ghosts. We appreciate your time today, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.